it's our speaker Paula from the Just Do Group of NA in the East End area of NA.
I gotta yell, hi!
Hi, Paula!
Okay. I'm an addict, my name's Paula.
Paula!
I was just talking with somebody earlier, and we were just talking about what a great day it is to be clean. Right? Of course, every day is. Sasha. This is a beautiful place to be. So let me talk about that a little bit. It's been a while since I've been up here, and I remember coming here many, many years ago, and when I got clean, people said just go places, go do some things, and I felt really uncomfortable doing those things. But you said to do it, so I did it anyway. And we would camp up there in that field, and it was really hot. It was really hot. And you had to wait until soccer people were done, or whatever they were doing, some bunch of school kids or something. But I remember like all that frustration and things like that but building those relationships with people. And you don't even realize you're doing it, right? You don't realize that's what's happening. Because life is just showing up it feels like a bunch of shit. Sometimes it is a bunch of shit, but. So let me say this too, it's always an honor to be asked to speak at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. To be able to have the ability to show up and to be clean and not have to live that way anymore, right? I went to my home group this morning. I wasn't going to. I joined the Saturday home group because my work schedule changed. And I worked 3 to midnight and didn't think that was going to affect my life as much as it did, but it did. But anyway, that's what it is. And there was a person speaking, and he was talking about just being connected to Narcotics Anonymous and like what a gift that is and what a gift it is. And I don't ever want to forget that. So anyway, I wasn't going to go to my home group. I was, in my mind. Desiree was speaking up here at 9. And in my mind, it was like, oh, I'll be there by then. No, I wasn't going to be. Then I had to say, that's not going to happen. Because it wasn't. Sorry, Des, I love you dearly. But so I was just going to, sleep in and go pick up a friend and come up here. And I had it just came into my mind. Because all you people have put these things in my mind over the years. That if I'm going to go to a meeting to speak at a retreat, and you're not going to go to your home group, what kind of bullshit is that? And for me, what kind of bullshit is that? Nope. So I got my ass up, and I drank a lot of coffee, and I went to my home group first. And it always works out just as it's supposed to, even when I don't think it will. So when I first got here, people told me, get a home group and sponsor Janet. I tell Janet's story a lot when I tell my story, right? Because this is what happens when you go relationships with people. I don't see Janet very often, but I love Janet, and I know Janet loves me. And I know that we have a connection that'll never go away, right? And it was a bunch of shit at first, right? We got here in the same way. And again, I tell your story anyway, because I talk about that sometimes, and I talk about when I first got introduced to Narcotics Anonymous, I was not clean. I don't know about you guys, but I wasn't. And I tried to be clean. I sort of wanted to be clean, but I wasn't. And that's the way that was. So I came back again because I went to rehab, right? And they told me, oh, go do this, go do this, go to a meeting. I went home from rehab and had a party. That's so ridiculous. Like, but that's what we did. Went to rehab for 28 days and went home and had a freaking party. And it, you know, to the house that we had in the furniture. Because at the end of my road, it was not pretty, it was not fun, it was awful. And I'd never want to forget that, ever, 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 ever. I don't want to forget it. I was married to somebody who was using, and he didn't get clean. I still stayed with him for a year, by the way. I do not recommend that. But whatever. So I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and people would tell me when I got here, they'd say, you'll have a story to tell. You'll be able to help somebody. I don't know that I believe that. But what I know now about Narcotics Anonymous is we all have a story. And we all help each other. You don't know sometimes how much you help somebody by a word you say or just by showing up or something like that. You know, we're pretty hard on our... Well, I don't know about you. I just know about me. I'm pretty hard on myself sometimes. I'm more still working on that. Actually, just this year, I went back to therapy, and I thought, well, what is this woman going to tell me in my head? Not that I think I know everything, but I just, like, what are they going to do for me? What's she going to help me with? Well, when I get led down a path, I need to walk down the path. She's helping me, right? But anyway, that's besides me. So when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I came down a path that at the time, I didn't know anybody else was walking that path. I was on methadone. And I had known about Narcotics Anonymous, and I knew of some things about it, you know, because I went to that rehab program, went home, had a party. Here I was, you know, on methadone, and I just didn't want to live that way anymore, but I didn't know what I was going to do, and that's when I met Janet. I never knew her before. We knew the same people. We got introduced to each other. We ended up going to a rehab center together. That was fun. And I remember them telling me I couldn't take this medicine that we were supposed to take, and I was a little upset until I saw people really going through with that medicine. I was like, oh shit. But here's what I remember about that. I remember thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen? How am I going to do this? I don't know what I'm going to do. And the doctor came in, I'll never forget, Dr. Pringle. She was this really pretty doctor, long dark hair, and she gave me a prayer card. St. Jude, it was the Catholic hospital. But St. Jude is the patron saint of hopeless causes. That's what the doctor gave me. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, well, I must really be fucked. If that's what the doctor gave me. I still have that card, by the way. Because again, hindsight, right? I know that we get just what we need. It's just a matter of fact if I'm going to grab onto it. So I didn't stay clean when I went home. I tried, but I still went to meetings. I went to meetings every day, sometimes 2 and 3 times a day, because I had nowhere else to go. I wasn't employable. I had kids. I had 3 kids still at home with me. And they went to school, and I went to meetings, and that's what we did. And I took them to meetings. And I remember somebody saying something to me once, like, oh, you're going to take your kids to those meetings? And I was like, yeah. Can you see where I was living? Because at the end of my road, I lived in a shooting gallery on the north side of Pittsburgh with my children. It's not where I live today. But I don't ever want to forget that either, that I decided that was where I ended up, and that was okay. Well, I don't know if it was okay, but that's where I ended up. I lived in that shooting gallery in the attic with a mattress on the floor. And I don't ever, ever, ever want to forget where that's where my addiction takes me. It takes me to the degradation of society, outside of society. So I had these beautiful, beautiful people placed in my life. And this is the woman's rap, so I'm going to talk about the women that were placed in my life. I didn't know how to... I had some relationships with women, but... they kind of went away. Like, they didn't want to be with me, around me anymore because, you know, I was a junkie. To be honest, that's the end of the road. They didn't know what to do with me. They didn't know how to take it. They didn't know, right? So they weren't in my life anymore. And these women were just placed in my life, and it was like, what the hell? Someone that we both had in our lives, Debbie. God, I miss her so much sometimes. I feel her spirit sometimes. I do. But anyways. These women that just said, hey, come here, we'll show you what to do. Come here, you come over here, do this. Here, go to a meeting. Here, you know, come out with us and have coffee or dinner. Or, you know, I had a sponsor who would take me to her house every weekend, me and my kids, and my laundry, because I didn't have a washer and dryer. And if you knew me, that was a big issue for me. I will come to your house now and do all your laundry. I really will, if you let me. I should really have a job doing laundry. And that's all childhood stuff, to be honest with you, because there wasn't a lot of laundry done at my house, so all the laundry must be done. It's not even dirty, that's okay, we'll clean it anyway. I have to, it's kind of funny, and I didn't plan it this way, but I now have two washers and two dryers in my basement. I did not plan it that way. My higher power has a sense of humor. Because I'm not getting rid of one because the other one will probably break. Mm-hmm. Now, I can go buy one if I really had to, but anyway, that's pretty funny. So these beautiful women were placed in my life, right? And they guided me and held my hand and took me down these paths and just said, just keep showing up. You know, go to a meeting. You know, call your sponsor. And I did not know how to do that. I didn't want to do that. I didn't feel like I deserved to do that. I did not feel like I was a part of humanity at that point, let alone to be included with a group of women, right? That were living life right. But I didn't have anywhere else to go, except for to go use. And I really didn't want to do that anymore because really what I wanted to do is die at the end of my life, at the end of my road. And I couldn't find a way to do that appropriately. I'm glad of that now. So, you know, early on in recovery, there were so many things that were presented and we were able to do these firsts with these people in my life, right? I mean, I remember having a birthday party for a friend of ours. He was a 40-some-year-old man. He had never had a birthday party, ever. So we had a birthday party with signs and balloons and hats and all that shit, you know? And it was things like that. I had a dear friend of mine who had also never had any kind of party in her life. So for her second year anniversary, we had this big blowout thing, right? Now, this is back, we didn't have no money, we didn't have nothing, but we all did the thing, right? And it was just so beautiful. And there was a group of us that would hang out together and, you know, I got my first job in recovery. Oh, man, that's not true. That's the first real job in recovery at a treatment center. But anyway, I just had to tell the truth there. That wasn't the first job. I had a little part-time job working at the church. See, here's how that worked, too. I didn't want to hear about your God stuff. I really didn't. I was, nope, I don't want to do that. I had my own issues with that part of life, and I didn't really, I believed there was something somewhere, but I didn't want to hear about God. But anyway, so these things would happen. Like the pastor of the church up there would show up at my door. Like, who freaking does that? With turkeys. He was a pastor of this Lutheran church, and you know, I lived in the city. People didn't do that, but he did. So when I think back and all these things that happened in my life, right? And I used to think, why are you coming here? I don't want to hear about God. I'm not coming to your church. I'm not. I'm not coming. I did. I didn't really go back. I didn't really stay there, but that's okay. They gave some things for my kids to do, like after school programs and stuff like that. We ended up having a home group at that church on Tuesday nights. I don't even remember the name of the home group now because my old brain doesn't remember stuff sometimes. But anyway, that was my home group for a while. It's just funny how things happen, right? But let me tell you, the women in my life have saved my ass on more occasions than I could ever tell you. Some of those women, I don't even know who they are. They just popped up here and there. Some of these women have been around for a long time. I am so, so, so freaking grateful for the women that show up, that continue to show up, that showed up before me and continue to show up. I see your faces, I know you. I know some of your deep, dark secrets, right? We know all these intimate details of people's lives and don't even know their last names. And that's so wonderful. What I have found is that when I let go, our friend Val used to say, maybe it's not about holding on, maybe it's about letting go. I said, what is wrong? Shut up. He was right. Because it's not always about holding on. I'm a great holder on. I don't know about you. I hold on to shit way past the expiration date. So when I got clean, my husband at the time was using, and I stayed with him for a year, and it was horrible and awful, to be honest with you. And I ended up going back to school. I went to a meeting every day. I took my kids to like NA functions, things like that. Our first vacation was the Butler Retreat. We had a couple of loaves of bread and some peanut butter and jelly, and I didn't have a car. And somebody picked me up, and they took us there. And my kids had never been anywhere because my addiction eliminated that in our lives. That was not what we did. Vacation. We're lucky we had food to eat, and sometimes we didn't have that. But that's how my life was built. I built my life around Narcotics Anonymous. And in turn, Narcotics Anonymous allowed me to have a life. I always wanted to go back to college, right? No, in my mind, I was going to go to college for 6 months. Six whole months! And I was going to go and be a counselor, right? Because that's what we do. Someone says, hey, you want to work in a treatment center? Okay. I think I couldn't wait to have 2 years clean, and I was in school. I was going back to school, but really, I had this idea that I was going to go to school for 6 months and become a counselor. Well, I did become a counselor, but it took a little more than 6 months. Because I really was out of the loop on the world and how the world works, right? With all these things happen. You also told me to get involved in service. I listened to you, and I have taken that on seriously. I've also was told the highest form of service that I can do is at my home group. Show up at your home group, like I did this morning. And that's the highest form of service. I've been able to do service work in different areas of NA, and I'm really grateful for that. The biggest part of that I'm grateful for is I got to meet so many people. I got to meet so many people that I never would have met. I got to, like, leave the city. Like, the Four Corners is where I went to at first. There was four corners of the world that I couldn't get off of. And service work taught me that. Service work taught me how to behave in the world. It taught me how to behave in the workplace, to be honest with you. Right? Heard somebody sharing about that earlier today. Lance was sharing about that. Like, he was able to chair a meeting at work, and they were like, how'd you learn how to do that? Well, NA. Because we learn that kind of stuff. You stick around, man, you learn stuff. You stick around, you learn more about yourself. So anyway, you know, came to Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm so grateful I did. I'm so grateful that my path led me here. I'm so grateful for the people that were placed in my life, and these beautiful, beautiful women and a few men that were just placed in my life, and they said, here, this is what you do. And you gave me some literature to read, and been able to be a part of some of that, the some of our newer literature. Living Clean, we were able to sit and do some workshopping on that, right? How cool is that? Now you read it. I don't remember what parts it was because it was, you know, edited, but just to be able to do some of that stuff is really cool. You know, from someone who couldn't get off Four Corners, right? I had these kids, and I didn't know how I was going to be a parent, and but you all showed me how to do that too, because I watched other women. I watched other women be a parent to their children, single mothers, non-single mothers. I would be really jealous sometimes. Look, when I first got clean, I remember I told you about the washer and dryer. People would say, don't pray for certain things, you know, just pray for God's will. I'd be like, I'm praying that God's will is I get a washer and dryer. Mm-hmm. I know, it sounds silly, but I remember taking my laundry up the big hill on Vincent Street, getting on the bus, and walking onto the bus with all my things of laundry, and it's spilling all over the aisle of the bus. And I was embarrassed, and I was pissed, and I was like, what the fudge? So anyway, I ended up getting a washer and dryer for about $15. See, if you stick around, I did pray for something. Oh, well, sorry. I think that was God's will. So I went back to school, and I ended up with this job when I had 2 years clean. I got it at a place, I know I'm kind of jumping, but I got at a place with my first ex-husband that I just was done, man. I was done. He was mean. He was nasty. He wouldn't stop using. He was shooting dope in the basement. I would not recommend doing that. But I didn't know how to get out of that. I just didn't know how to end it. I just didn't know how. And that ended. And I remember one time sitting at home, and I'll tell you two stories. This is when I started understanding about a higher power working in my life. I remember talking with my sponsor on the phone, and she was talking about step 3, and we were talking about 1 and 3, and I was like, well, all this stuff about God, I really don't want to hear about God, and how do you know what God's will is? I don't understand this stuff. I'm just out of, what is God going to do? Is he going to come and, like, give me burning bushes and shit? I don't have no idea. Well, and I'm not kidding. About an hour later, and I'm not kidding, there's a fire truck out in front of my house, and the hedges is on fire. Wow. And I was like, well. And I called her back and said, well, okay. I guess sometimes you do get burning bushes. Now, I lived in the inner city. The kids took a hairspray can and lit it on fire, and it caught the hedges on fire. But right then, right there? Okay. Yeah. My higher power has a sense of humor, because that's how I hear it. That's how I am. During that period of time, too, there was another time where I just didn't know how to leave this man. I didn't know how to end that relationship. It was horrible. It was awful. I was going between. I wanted to kill him. And I really was planning it. It scared the shit out of me, actually. Because I had this plan. Because he wouldn't leave. And anyway. And I remember hitting my knees. And I didn't always do that. But I did. And saying, please remove this man from my life. Because I can't do it. And I don't know what to do. And a couple hours later, my higher power works pretty expediently when I really do. I get a call from the county jail. You know, one of those ones that you have to accept the call. I did. And he was in jail. For 3 months, he stayed in jail. I was like, okay. All right. So higher power was working. I'm glad I have those stories now. And I'm glad they were, like, just the way they happened, right? Because my higher power has a sense of it. So, eventually, it was just like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. He was pretty abusive. Either you're going to kill me or whatever, but you got to go. I can't do this anymore. And he left. My second daughter was, like, 12 at the time. And he just left. And I didn't understand. How do you just leave? How do you just leave your kids? Not, I asked for it. But in hindsight, it was the best thing that happened. But I didn't get it. I didn't understand how you could do that. And I found myself one day down on where he used to hang out on East Ohio Street. It wasn't as nice as it is now. Still not that nice, but whatever. And I remember seeing him, and like, I'm sitting here yelling at him, and you're an asshole, and you're a piece of shit, and how dare you do that? How do you do that? How do you just leave your kids, right? And he's standing there going, wow, calm as could be. And it just hit me like, ah, wow, who is the fool here, right? And that was the last time I went looking for him. It's not the last time I thought about it, but it's the last time I did it. And he just took off and never came back. Sad, hurtful, but honestly, my kids told me, that's all right. They were okay with it, because he was just not a very nice person. They would have hoped that their dad would have came back, I guess, but at this point, you know, they're grown-ups now, and they're not really worried about that part of it so much. So, he taught me to just keep showing up, get a commitment, get a home group, get a sponsor. I've had a sponsor the whole time I've been clean. I didn't always call the sponsors I had the whole time I've been clean, let me tell you that. I didn't. I'd be lying if I said I did. And then when I finally get to the place where I do that, I'm like, what the hell? Why did you do that? That was just dumb. But I've been able to form relationships with women that is just, they're thick and they're rich and they're beautiful. Because we look out for each other and we take care of each other. And sometimes you just sit there when that other person is just hurting and sad and going through whatever it is they're going through. Sometimes the only thing that you can do is just sit and be there. And I've learned that that's enough. And sometimes that's more than enough. That's just how it is. You know, sticking around for a while, sticking around on the earth for a little while, we lose people. I will tell you, just the last COVID years, that was just stupid. That was just insanity. But right before then, I ended up going back to school and going back to school again and going back to school again. And, you know, one is too many, a thousand's never enough. A whole bunch of student loans later. But I have a career. And I was able to, you know, stay working and learn. I worked in the treatment field, and I'm so grateful for that, because I learned more about people and recovery and women's relationships and all those things from the women I worked with, not from my coworkers. Some of them were great, but mostly from you and from the women like who I worked with. You know, so anyway, I was able to have this career, and it's about just putting one foot in front of the other. So in the process of all this stuff, my kids are growing up. You know, we did the best we could. They're out in the world doing good things, man. Sometimes I think, how the hell did that happen? Because not what we're, I told you, we lived in a shooting. Yeah. My oldest daughter ended up going down like the same path, and that was a whole big thing. She had kids, and she was using boyfriend committed suicide, and she had more babies, and I ended up getting married again through the course of this. I have a really bad picker. I will not be getting married again. I have a really good picker when it comes to friends. Not such a good one when it comes to people in relationships. Through the course of this, I got married, bought a house, did all that. My kids are growing up. My oldest daughter was using, and we ended up taking care of her children for 9 years. We had this little baby, right? The eight years old? No, I don't know how old he was, but he was literally climbing the walls. And I mean literally, you know, that boy was climbing the walls like, woo, he's lost. Then there was the four-year-old who just didn't say anything to anybody. And then there's this little baby. She was about 6 or 7 weeks old, and I remember going, what in the frig are we going to do with this one? My plan was, my kids were growing up and moving out, right? Nope. So we took care of those little kids, and Jessica, my daughter, did what she did. She struggled with addiction. She struggled with recovery. She struggled with her mom trying to tell her what to do and who to go. Don't go with that one. Go over there. Go to that meeting. Don't go to that meeting. No wonder she said, no. But now, she is a nurse, and she has her own path to recovery, and that's okay, right? We're still working on that relationship. We really are. That was a lot of stuff from early on. She was my first kid. I had her when I was barely 18. I think I was 18 for like 3 weeks and had a kid. I had no idea how to be a parent. I had no idea. I fucked that up a lot. But I can't go back and change it. That's what I've learned. And I remember one time she would use that a lot. She would use it a lot with a lot of guilt, a lot of shame. And I would kind of do whatever. And I remember one time she was standing there at my door. She was high. And I remember saying, and she's yelling at me, saying the things she would say. You know, you're a terrible mother, da 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 da. You know what? You're right. And I remember it just, I don't know where it came from. But I just said, you're right. I fucked up. And I did really fucked up shit. And I can't go back and change any of that. The only thing I can do is do something different from here. And you should probably, I was a little sarcastic, and you should probably get some therapy. She didn't particularly like that. But that changed things, though. It changed, I don't know if it changed her path, but it changed our relationship path. So in the process of all this, my kids, this is, oh my gosh, I can't believe that my kid's gonna retire from the military in a year and a half. This is like 20 some years ago, right? More than 20 some years ago, because my older daughter was in the military. So it was right before 2001, and my second daughter decides to join the military. And I'm like, yay, that's great. You can get get education, and all that shit happens. And we were like, oh, shit. But here's what happened. My house became the house where the teenagers would come and not get high. Right? Because they knew the only thing you're not doing in Miss Paula's house is getting high. Do not bring no weed or no drinks in my house. You can eat all the food you want. Bring me your laundry. I'll do your laundry. Right? I like doing that. Don't tell anybody. But you can't do that. So that was pretty cool. We were pretty proud of that, right? Those kids came to our house, and they weren't kids that were just really not getting high all the time. They didn't get high a lot. But anyway. And I remember when all that shit happened, and they were sitting in my living room, and they were like, what's going to happen? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway. So my kids joined the military. And then my son joined the military. And then my youngest daughter, who told us all, F that military bullshit. I'm not doing that. That's stupid. But then she was, this kid was so smart. She was in scholars all of her school years, right? And then she got out of school, and she was like kind of fucking around like we do, and decided to go to beauty school. So, okay, whatever. And then she dropped out, and we used to tease her and say, you know, there's a song about you. She didn't like that so much either. But anyway, she had to go down her own path. And anyway, she ended up joining the military too. And now she is you want to talk about a badass woman, look. I know that we get to help raise each other's kids, right? She is like a freaking, what's her rank? I don't know. She like just excelled. She's a leader. She supports the Space Force. It's a real thing, by the way. I asked her. She got mad at me. Yeah, is that really real? She's a senior master sergeant, right? But here's what I see there. That's great. That's wonderful. But here's what it is she was taught like by us. Right? This is how it works. How it works is women getting together and women supporting each other and us just being there for each other. I know for myself, I'd not be clean today. I wouldn't be anywhere today without you in my life at all. And still today, there's a couple women here that I sponsor. And still today, when someone asks me to sponsor them, it blows my mind. It just does. It really does. And it is such an honor and a privilege. for someone to ask you to sponsor them. And I haven't always done the best at that either. I do the best I can. But to be able to share with somebody, like when someone shares their steps with you, that's like, I want to say the word holy almost, but that's not really the right word I want to use. But you know what I'm saying? It's that word. I can't think of the right word. But, so let me tell you about miracles and magic, because that's what happens here. And I remember people telling me, girl, you're a miracle. And I'd be like, okay. Sorry. You people are a little weird. Like, I got here, right? And you all did a lot of hugging. And I didn't really... I was a little weirded out by that. Mostly because, not because I didn't like hugs, it's because nobody hugged me for a long time. Not really. Right? I didn't feel like as a I don't know what I felt. Maybe I didn't feel like I deserved it or whatever, but I don't know. And you would hug you when you walked in the room and okay. But here's what I know now. I know those hugs are life sustaining. And people used to tell us that. That's how we stay alive, man. We stay alive, and I know now, I don't know, maybe everybody else knew this before, but I just didn't, that is how we stay alive as human beings. We don't function well without human contact, right? An addiction for me pushed me way away from human contact, except for my kids, and even then it was like, ugh, I'd get frustrated when they want to hug you and touch you all the time. So now I have grandkids. Eight. I got eight grandkids, right? All ages, all sizes, all styles, all colors. We used to say that when people would come to our house and we had all the kids. Oh, you want birth control? Come on over. Oh, I'm not kidding you. Because they were all ages, all sizes. They had all their friends there. But what that told me is my house was a safe place to be. That it felt good to be there. Nobody had to say that. But anyway, so I had gotten married. That didn't work out so good. I stuck around with that one for way too long. I always wanted to travel, right? And I couldn't get off those four corners. Man, I've been able to go out of the country, and they let me back in. Right? That was pretty amazing. Went to, like, because my kids were in the military, I was able to go visit them in some different places, like Japan, Okinawa. Like, how beautiful was that, right? Germany. But the thing is, that's great, and that's wonderful, right? That's all well and good. But the best thing, and the greatest thing in my life, the greatest thing that Narcotics Anonymous gave me was self-respect and dignity and the ability to forgive and the ability to be forgiven. And to me, that's kind of what it's about. That I can, you know, whatever happens in life, we can get through it. We can get to the other side. You also told me you don't have to use no matter what. No matter what, you don't have to use. There's nothing that can come wrong in your life to make you use. I don't know if I believe that, but I remember when I first got clean, I might not even have been clean then, but there was a woman that came into the meeting down at Southside, that meeting called Get Clean or Die MF-er. They used to have a great t-shirt, but anyway, it was pretty good. But there was a woman in there that came in and talked about finding her son hanging. I mean, it was pretty rough. And she didn't get high, she went to a meeting. And I just thought, wow, there's no reason to use ever. Not that I haven't thought about it, I don't know. I thought about it many times. Many times. I've also thought about just taking the bridge a few times too. Because I don't know if I really want to use and go through all that again. That was hard. I ended up moving away to South Carolina for a couple years. And it's exactly what I should have done. I needed to do that. I got a new job. I needed to leave that marriage. And I got there and it was great for a while. And I was living with my daughter and that was fine. We got along great. But the job was getting weird, right? just didn't feel like I was supposed to be there, but I didn't know where else to go, and I hang on way too long, right? And it was really hard, and they would tell me this, oh, bless your heart. You know anything about South Carolina? That does not mean they like you. They would say that to me a lot. And I remember this, I was friends with this one guy, and I was like, I don't understand, it feels weird. It doesn't sound like, they say bless your heart like it's so nice, but it doesn't feel nice. He's like, oh, honey. He said, oh, baby, that doesn't mean they like you. And I was like, well. And I remember saying, well, why don't they just say that? Right. So that means like, fuck you, right? He's like, well, yeah. Well, where I come from, you just say fuck you and move on. Anyway, I remember driving down the road one day. It was really just sad, and it just didn't feel right. And here I went again. And I said, okay, higher power, just please show me in a way I can understand what your will is for me, because I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And they fired me. That was pretty clear. I didn't really do anything wrong. It was just I wasn't a good fit, and I had tried, and it wasn't working. I was like, oh, what? I was devastated for a minute, but there was this part of me that said, oh, my God, thank God. And I remember them saying, well, you can come back later for your things. I was like, oh, no. That's not how this works. That's not how this works. Because you and Narcotics Anonymous, the women in my life, showed me that I can hold my head up with dignity no matter what happens. So I packed up all my things because I have way too many things to get better with that, and I left. Then I ended up coming back to Pittsburgh and got a job and got hired and all that kind of stuff. And that was in 2014, so I've been back here since. So what did I do when I moved there? I found a meeting, because that's what I knew how to do. I got involved in service, because that's what y'all taught me to do. It's really funny, too, higher power, sense of humor thing. There was a meeting. I picked the meeting that was closest to where we were living, and they didn't name their meetings, because, you know, they did it all wrong there. So my sponsor said, they're not wrong. They're just different. So I go to the meeting, and it's called the Yankee Way. Okay, supposed to be here, I guess. She still did it wrong. But anyway, but that's what we learned to do. When I came back home, I went to my sponsor's house, because I wasn't going back to the old house. I went to my sponsor. She's like, you're coming to my house. What do you mean? And I stayed there, and I got a job and all that kind of stuff. So in the process of all that, my dad was with me. I was taking care of my dad. And I'm so grateful I got the opportunity to take care of my dad. That was a huge amends for me. He passed away in 2017. And yes, it's sad, but on the other side of that, he's not suffering anymore and all that. But I got to be there with him. I know, I'm kind of weirdo, I guess, but I got to be there with him when he passed. That was like one of the most sacred things I've ever done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've been there. I didn't know it was going to be like that, but it was like, wow. Wow. So I got to do that because of Narcotics Anonymous, because of you guys, because of you showed me how to be a woman. You showed me how to be a good human being, right? And I remember, that's what I say now. When I meet somebody that I think is just a good human, I'll be like, they're a good human. They're just a good human. Because that's what I strive to be. I want to be a good human. I do a lot of shit wrong. But I also do a lot of shit right. And Narcotics Anonymous, it has saved my life. And I'm not going anywhere. Because why would I go anywhere? Right? When we got the greatest show on earth, man. We got the greatest show on earth. So many people, we've lost so many people over the course of some years. And it was getting really tough for a while there, I'll tell you. When all that overdose stuff was happening, and I worked in the treatment field and Narcotics Anonymous and people you knew personally, it was really hard. I really backed up from some meetings. I wasn't going to as many, and it was mostly because I was hurt, and I was hurt. But anyway, I'm glad that that's not where I'm at today. Because I know, here's what I know. If my life is going really good, go to a meeting. Mm-hmm. If my life is mediocre, go to a meeting. if my life is effed up, go to a meeting. Work some steps. Get involved in service. That's what I know. I don't know a lot, but I know that. And I know that Narcotics Anonymous is the greatest show on earth. People said a lot of weird shit when I first started, you know? What they say, we used to go downtown to the recovery center. If your ass falls off, put it in a bag and bring it back and we'll help you put it on. I was like, that's so weird. But I kept coming. Now I kind of know what they mean. Sort of. Yeah, I don't. So, anyway, I am so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm so grateful for this program and everything about it, and I'm so grateful for all you beautiful women.